life in real form.
Panther. And so I looked back and I said, by the way, I said, you better keep still too. I said, its mate is across astride the road to the rear of you. He said, oh, he said. I said, well, what about this meat for the mess? He said, no, he said, it's getting dark. He said, I think we better get back. So we walked back to the mess with nothing. And then the following day, no brigadier. I said to the brigade major, I said, what's happened to the brigadier? He said, he's down with malaria. I said, oh, that'll keep him busy for a bit, won't it? He said, yes. I said, well, anyway, I said, what about some air in the blinking EPIPs? Anyway, the next thing I knew was he'd he'd got all the sides rolled up. Lunchtime, out troops the brigadier. What are the flies doing up? They should be down. Brigade major was posted the next day. And I was assigned to, they were on the last exercise prior to going into Burma. And I was assigned to Column 7, which was the Liverpool Regiment. We had this exercise for 7 days. We had to attack Jhansi. We lived off the land as far as we could. We were given rations, but we were always hungry after it. Anyway, this went on for 7 days, and the last day, the Gurkha CO sent for me and said, John, he said, do you think you can get into Jhansi to the mess and get us some drink? I said, well, I can try. Anyway, I slipped away, went down to the railway line, followed the railway line into Jhansi, went to the mess and got a bag, sack full of drinks or whatever, all things. One caught a train back, the train stopped for me to let me off where I wanted to be let off, and then I walked back up through these, challenged by a Gurkha on the way back, and realized I was in the Gurkha area, so I went and saw the CO and handed the stuff over. And then the exercise was called off the following day. And I went back to my regiment. And they said, oh, apparently I was supposed to have volunteered to stay on. But I didn't.
To stay on where?
Stay on with the 77 in the Independent Infantry Brigade and go into Burma with the column. But I didn't, and I went back to my unit. And about a week later, I contracted both types of dysentery. So I'd been useless anyway. And I was in bed for quite some time. I had 24 jabs in my backside, 12 on either chap. And the sister said to me, she said, it's a good thing you haven't got to have 25, 26. She said, I've got nowhere to put them. I said, well, thank God for that. And anyway, I went up to Missouri to Riku, and it unfortunately I stayed out late one night when I shouldn't have done, and the doctor caught me going back as he was coming down, and I was just sent back to my, I was discharged and sent back to my regiment the following day to resume duties, which I was very glad about. And then it would appear that I was then recommended and asked for to become, to go out to the 1st Battalion in Egypt, and I was posted out there.
1st Battalion of what?
Of the 9th, 1st 9th, 1st 9th Gurkhas. And I was posted there. And I took a flight from Delhi to Bombay, as you were, Karachi. And I had to change at Jhansi onto another aircraft from Delhi Aerodrome to Jhansi to Karachi. And I stayed there for 3 days, 4 days, and then was put on the Imperial Airways Canopus, which was the seaplane flying from Karachi to Cairo. And we used to fly for 3 hours, land, get into a boat and be rowed ashore or motored ashore, have lunch, and then get back into the plane, another 3 hours. And for then one night stay, which we stayed at Baghdad on the Tigris. We landed on the Tigris. And I was put up in a hotel for the night. And then the following day, we went to Cairo. We had lunch on the Dead Sea, or the hotel there, and then landed in Cairo in the evening, where I was put into the Shepherd's Hotel to be collected by a truck the following morning, and taken up to my regiment, to my battalion in the desert after the Tunisia campaign, where I was informed that I was to take over the adjutancy in 3 days' time after the old adjutancy went back to India. And Even that was without with incident, because the truck that I was on, we had a we stopped at a cafe, and the old driver went round and had a look at everything. And after we'd had a coffee and got back, he found it, all his tools had been stolen by some these Arab kids, and he'd done his damnedest to prevent it, but they'd done it, and we hadn't noticed anything.
Where was this?
On the way to joining the regiment, in the cafe that we stopped halfway, somewhere on the way. But it was very, very, it was rife. I mean, everyone knew these things, and it was done. But it was one of those things. Anyway, he delivered me to my unit, and I met the CO and all the mess, etc., etc., and became adjutant. And from there we went down to embark for Italy after about a week or so. And while we went through the Suez Canal, we had to keep out of sight of everybody so that no one knew that we were moving to Italy. And we went through Suez and Alexandra and arrived at Taranto in Italy. And took a train from Italy to a place in central Italy, where we changed to a sort of mountain railway, which took us right up into the mountains. There was a road there which finished where we got off. It was a monastery there, which we were billeted in. And we started training. Colonel Roach... we went to a place called... Yes, Pescara. This monastery, that's right. And from there, we went into the line at Orsogna, which was the west coast of Italy. I'm told it was very quiet, nothing ever happened there. But the first night that we were there, I told the police sergeant to stick an old petrol can with 57 on it, nails, 57 on three sides, and put it in the road with a lamp in, because we were a new unit, and if anybody's looking for us, we were there. But I said, not facing that way where the Germans were. During the night at 2 o'clock, I heard a bang, 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 but didn't take much notice of it. Following morning, the police, the Havildar, reported to me the fact that the lamp had been shot out. I said, oh. And on inquiries, found out that he'd put 57 all the way round. And therefore, the Germans had seen this 57, the light on the thing, and mortared it.
What was the significance of 57?
57 was the number of your battalion. Number of the battalion of the brigade. 56, 57, 58. And 56 was the was the Essex Regiment. And we were the 5th Indian Infantry Brigade. Of the 4th Indian Division, Shite Hawks. Which was there. Anyway, the first night, it so happened that the Sussex sent out a patrol, and unfortunately, a patrol went into a cave and was caught by the Germans. And so the next morning, the loudspeakers and things were saying, "Welcome, 4th Indian Div, welcome, 4th Indian Div, to this part of the sector." And it is quiet. Well, it was quiet, but then 2 days later, we found the paratroops were up against us. Wherever we went, the paratroops followed us. We were supposed to be, we were a crack division, of course. And we got to know the paratroops very well. So it no longer became a quiet sector. And in due course, we were then moved down to the 5th Army under the American General Clark. And while we were in Naples, the attack, the seaborne attack of
Salerno?
Pardon?
Salerno?
Salerno took place, and we were in a an olive field, trees and things, watching a demonstration to King George VI, who'd come out to see this, and we were doing a demonstration attack. From after this exercise, we got our orders, we received our orders, and we were to proceed to Cassino. So we were embussed in Naples, and we proceeded up the main Rome road, through various villages and things, until we came to a very, very flat area, and we saw, for the first time, we saw the American heavy artillery all ranged in an open field, firing spasmodic rounds, and in the distance, in the valley, in the distance, on top of the whole lot was this beautiful abbey of Cassino. And it really was an awe-inspiring sight, this place, and mountains round you, flat ground down on your left, but absolutely a mountains, then the abbey, and then land leading right down to the road that we were on, and then downwards. And it looked just a bar, and that was it. And anyway, we arrived late at night, well, not late at night, but just before darkness fell. And it was bitterly cold. It had been snowing and raining, and everything was muddy. We debussed, and we were put into a village for the night and told to be on parade at 6 to embuss to go into the line the following morning. We were ready at 6, and it so happened that in the village, the roads consisted of stone slabs, and I saw something shining through, and I picked it up, and it was a very mud encrusted medallion of the Virgin Mary. And I cleaned it, and it really was beautiful, all in silver. And I realized that somebody in the village must have dropped it. Anyway, I picked it up and put it in my pocket, and I have it to this day. And I'm positive that from that day forth, my life was charmed. Anyway, we embussed in American transport with Texan drivers. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited. And then we were told to debus, which we did. And about 10 o'clock in the morning, further transport arrived. We were told to embus. And I thought to myself, well, there goes one promise. We were promised that we could go into the line in daylight. I now knew that that was an impossibility, because we were having to go very narrow roads, uphill, and the transport could only go so far, and then we had a 5-mile walk the other end. I inquired of the driver, who was a coloured person, what was the trouble. I told him what had happened. He said, "Oh," he said, "you got the Texans." I said, "Yes." "Oh," he said, "they won't drive anybody of coloured skin." And he said, "That's why we were sent for so hurriedly to take you up." I said, "What, in the middle of war, they won't drive?" He said, "Yes, they won't drive anybody who's black." I said, "Oh." Anyway, we proceeded up the path, and in due course, we arrived at our destination. And as I thought, it was dark, and we, for 5 miles, we had to tumble over rocks, mud, uphill, down dale, to get to our positions. And we were put for the night into, before our positions were given to us by our commanding officer, and we were put into a ravine, which we lined both sides, and we settled down there for the night, had fed ourselves, and it was bitter, ice cold, and it was hailing slightly and snowing slightly, alternately. And about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, there was the Germans thumped us with mortars. Luckily, they left my particular company alone, but the word came down, could we find a doctor, as some of our blokes had been hit further or higher up.
Which company were you with?
I was with B Company.
Were you in charge of the company?
Oh, yes. My company. And I was company commander, yes. And anyway, I got out of my little hole, and unfortunately I didn't put any, I was in just in pants and vests, and all I put on was a greatcoat. And I went down, further down, see if I could find an MO. And I barged into one tent and found myself in with the French troops, French Tuaregs. And I inquired in my best French if there was a medical officer, and they looked at me and laughed. I said, "You haven't got one." They said, "No, we haven't got one. The nearest one that I know of is 4 or 5 miles away." I said, "It's the same with us, I think." But anyway, I went back to my position, and the following morning, I woke up feeling absolute hell. And the stretcher bearers came and stretchered me down. I got double pneumonia, which was apparently very serious. And they sent me to Caserta Hospital. Caserta General Hospital, where they gave me all the necessary remedies for double pneumonia with pleurisy, and I was cosseted, and then one day I thought I was getting better. And anyway, I must have gone to sleep. And during my sleep, I had a dream that a terrific wall was falling down all over me. And then I suddenly awoke to bright sunlight. And my bed was wreathed in sunlight, and a nurse came and pulled the curtains to. She said, "Oh, thank goodness, you're awake." I said, "Yes, I am. And it's a beautiful day, isn't it?" She said, "Yes." She said, "Actually, we thought you were a goner." I said, "Why?" She said, "Well, just that." And it would appear that the people in the ward told me that no music was allowed, no radios, no nothing. Everything had to be kept quiet while all this went on. And I recovered very well. And then one afternoon I was visited by Colonel Squire, who was then a major of the East, first six East Surreys, who was an ex-buddy of mine from the 6th Battalion, East Surreys. He was also in the hospital recovering from wounds. And I asked my bearer to get him a cup of tea. And he surprised him. He said, "You have someone here to look after you?" I said, "Yes, I'm Indian Army." He said, "Yes," he said, "I can see that." And from that day forth, whenever he sees anybody, they know me. He keeps on telling the story of the day he visited me in hospital and received a cup of tea from my bearer, a Gurkha, which had never happened before in his life. Anyway, after that, I was sent by ambulance train across the Apennines to a place just above Bari, Barletta, to number 8 General Hospital. And there, my CO, General Medical Officer, was a Colonel Slot, who, strange though it may seem, had a house in Sheen Road, Richmond. And so he and I became very pally. And I remained there for 8 weeks. And during that period of time, the Vesuvius volcano erupted. And we got all the ash over. It didn't hit Barletta, but it hit Bari. All we saw was this greyish cloud going across. And it was a fantastic spectacle. And I remained with number 8 General Hospital for a little while. And from there, I was posted back to a sort of rest hospital or rest nursing home, where I was rested with a lot of other officers, where I was rested there for a while. And then I was posted to the reinforcement camp as an officer awaiting posting.
Had you wanted to go back to 1st 9th Gurkhas?
I made an application to go back, but they said that it depended entirely whether there's a vacancy or not. At that time, they were short of officers, and if there was a vacancy in another Gurkha battalion, you went to it. But in due course, I was then posted to Benevento, which was the sort of posting town at the time. And eventually I made my way back to the 9th Battalion, these Gurkhas, 1st Battalion. And my CEO said, well,